Wouldn't be much of a pastor if I didn't mention something that happened in the middle of the night last night. Me and my wife were laying there asleep about 3 o'clock in the morning. She decided to wake all of you up. Praise the Lord. Sister Wanda Hughes was out of town, and we've had a lot of testimonies here today, so I'm just going to give you another one. Amen. She began to have some pain in her body to the point that they had to leave and come home and go to the emergency room. When they got there, they determined that she had a hernia that had become strangled. And she was in so much pain, she couldn't stand it. So they rushed her to emergency surgery this morning. It was about 3 a.m., I believe, when we sent out the one call text. I make no apologies for that. If you don't want to be a part of a praying church, kindly remove yourself from the telegram. Hey, praise the Lord. I feel like getting pastoral for a minute. Is that all right? Amen. Kindly remove yourself if you're not willing to get up and pray for somebody who needs prayer. Amen. But we sent out that prayer request this morning around 3 a.m. We got another phone call about 6:30. We were up again. Brother Kenny had let us know that everything was a success. Sister Wanda is doing well and is in recovery. So we thank the Lord for that today. Amen. We serve a good God today. Amen. If you don't know, a strangled hernia can become a very dangerous thing. Amen. But the Lord was gracious. Amen. And her surgery went well. And she is recovering. So let's continue to pray for her also that the Lord will give her a speedy recovery. Amen. Sister Wanda Hughes, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 11th chapter, as we turn to the word of the Lord. I do have something on my heart this morning that the Lord has compelled me to share with this body. Amen. Luke, the 11th chapter, we're going to be reading verse 9 through 13. Luke, the physician, Luke, the 11th chapter, we're going to be reading verse 9 through 13. When you get there, shout out amen. Amen. Luke, the 11th chapter and the 9th verse. And the word, if you do not have your Bibles, the words are provided for you on the screen behind me. Please see me if you need a Bible. We want a Bible in every home in this church. Amen. We want people to have a place to turn to get the answer to all of life's problems. Amen. It can be found in the Word of God. Amen. Luke, the 11th chapter and the 9th verse. The word of the Lord says, and I say unto you, these are the words of Jesus, as you can see they are in red. And the Lord said, I say unto you, ask. Everybody say, ask. The Lord said, ask. Amen. That's a hard thing for a man to do because pride seems to get in the way. I've seen people who had serious needs that wouldn't tell you what they were, all because they had pride in their heart. Amen. But the Lord Jesus himself said in Luke, the 11th chapter and the 9th verse, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. You can't receive if you don't ask. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. For the next few moments, I want to speak to you on this subject, the anatomy of an asker. the anatomy of an asker. Lay your Bibles down in your seat. Lift your praises unto the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord together. Come on, are you a thankful church? Are you a thankful body? Are you a thankful believer? Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together in this house today. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Add a blessing unto your word today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. You may be seated. High five your neighbor on the way down and say, I'm leaving here changed. Amen. Now high five your other neighbor and say, I'm leaving here changed. Amen. How many want to leave the house of the Lord changed today? I don't want to leave the way I came. I want to leave changed. I want to leave closer to heaven. I want to leave closer to the Lord today. Amen. The anatomy of an asker. Amen. The Lord has instructed us in his word to ask and we shall receive. Amen. Ask and you shall receive. The human body is one of the most complicated and fascinating living forms on the planet Earth. It is complicated. It is intricate. It is not something for the faint of heart to study. Amen. I watch people who go to school for nursing. We have several nurses in this church. And I watch them talk about the dreaded A and P classes. Anatomy and physiology. Amen. The dreaded A and P. Amen. Because it is an intense study of the human body. It is an intense study of the way that things work. Amen. And it is a fascinating and it is complicated and it is intricate. And every human being can add their bodies to their list of things to all over. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. You are the design. You are the handiwork of God himself. Amen. And your bodies are made in such a way that many times they heal themselves and they fix themselves and they endure things that most things on the planet cannot endure. Because you, my friend, you, sir, you, ma'am, are the handiwork of God himself. Amen. You are the handiwork of God himself. Amen. The human body is truly an incredible specimen. It is something to stand in awe of. The more I read, the more I wonder, the more I stand in awe. Amen. I was reading some interesting facts this week about the anatomy of the human body. And I didn't realize it. And I asked my wife, I said, did you know this? And she said, no, I didn't know that. I asked, did you know that infants are born with approximately 300 bones in their bodies? But by the time they are grown, many of those bones fuse together to strengthen the body. And by the time you're grown, you only end up with 206 bones in your body. That is a fascinating fact. That young child that you hold in the hospital has more bones than you do, Corey. Praise the Lord. But by the time he's your age, he's going to have the same amount. Did you know that over half of the bones in the body are contained within the hands, the wrist, the foot, and the ankles? More than 50% of the bones in your body are in those four limbs or extensions of the body. You ever look at the x-ray of a hand? It looks like a million bones in that thing. Over 50% of the bones in your body are in your hands and your wrists and your feet and your ankles. Every second, your body produces 25 million new cells. And man, I was telling my wife this morning, I said, man, it's crazy because every time I go to put my socks on, I got a watch when I got black pants up because I put my foot up like I had to pull my socks on and I get white skin just on my pants. So that's kind of gross. She said, well, you must be dry. I said, yeah, I must need some lotion. But the truth is your body produces millions of cells. And the dust in your home is made up primarily of your skin that you shed. The body is a fascinating and an intricate design. There are anywhere between 60,000 and 100,000 miles, not feet, miles. Everybody that is sitting in this sanctuary, if you are grown, your body contains between 60,000 and 100,000 miles of blood vessels. If you were to pull those blood vessels out of your body and line them up end on end on end, Sister Angie's blood vessels would wrap around the earth three times. That is a fascinating fact, that there are that many miles of blood vessels within your human body. The body is truly a fascinating specimen. But as fascinating as the human body is, even more fascinating is the soul of a man, the soul of a woman, the creation of God. You are not a body with a soul. You are a soul with a body. Amen. And even more fascinating is that which came first. Amen. Your soul today, amen, is fascinating. Amen. For the flesh is temporary, but the soul is eternal. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. The flesh is going to return to the dust of the earth, but the soul is going back. The spirit is going back to God who gave it. Even more fascinating than the anatomy of the human body is the soul of a man. It's eternal. It's forever. Amen. It was before you were. Amen. God breathed into you the breath of life. Amen. And just as there is the makeup of a physical body, there is also the makeup of a spiritual body. And I'm not talking about makeup that you paint on your face. I'm talking about the makeup, the design. Amen. How it comes together. Amen. There is the makeup of a spiritual body. A careful examination of Scripture reveals to us that Jesus often used symbolism. He often used examples. We look at the teaching of reaping and sowing. We see that he used farming to get that over to us, to help us to understand that Jesus often used examples. He used symbolism. He used parables to illustrate his teaching. And in our text today that we're reading, Jesus uses one of the most precious of all relationships to help us understand the depth of his desire to give the Holy Ghost to them that ask of him. He uses the relationship between a father and his son to help us to understand, to get some things down in our spirit. If your child asks you for bread because he was hungry, Daddy, would you give him a stone in place of a piece of bread? Come on. Come on, Daddy. Would you give your son a stone to chew on if he was hungry? If your son asks for a piece of fish instead of fish, would you give him a snake to eat? If your child asks for an egg, would you hand him a poisonous scorpion? These are rhetorical questions. The Lord knew the answer before he asked them. The answer was a resounding no. He already knew before he asked them, but he was using this to relate to people who love their children, to help us to understand how much greater is the love of God than any love we can ever have for our children. Amen. I can relate to what Jesus was saying. I have four beautiful daughters who my son-in-laws are very aware of my closeness to. Amen. I have four beautiful daughters, and I can relate to what Jesus was saying because they mean the world to me. If they're hurting, I hurt. If they're down, I'm down. If they're sick, I worry about them. If they have a need, I'm beating my head against the wall to try to help figure out what that need is. Amen. Because I love them and they mean the world to me. Let me tell you something. A loving father will lay down his life for his own. Come on. A loving father will stand in front of his wife and his children when there's danger. A loving father will work his fingers to the bone to make sure his children got something to eat. A loving father will put himself in harm's way rather than harm get a hold of his children or his wife. A loving father will save for years for their children's education and for their children's weddings. A loving father will work extra jobs if he has to, so his family does not have to do without. Not trying to toot my own horn today, but I've drove vehicles that I had to tie the door shut on so my wife and my kids could ride around in a decent car. Because I'm a father that loves his wife and I'm a father that loves his children. But let me tell you something, it does not compare today to the love that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for you and for me. He paid the ultimate price for us today. Oh, let's be thankful for his love. Let's praise him for his love today. He loved us enough. He loved us enough that he did what he had to do. Amen. I can relate to what Jesus was saying. This is the message that Jesus was getting across to his followers. If we as frail, if we as carnal, if we as mortal men and women know how to give good gifts to our families, if we know how to love our families, amen, and to give to our children when they ask, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him for it? How many is thankful for the Holy Ghost today? I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost today. Amen. We was on a little trip this weekend and Sister Angel had made a comment about something crazy that somebody had did. And I said, well, you know, only the Holy Ghost can change that. Let me tell you something. There's just some things in your life that only the Holy Ghost can fix. Huh? Only the Holy Ghost can fix. There's things that we can't conquer on our own. But the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, He can indwell in you. He can fill you. And He can give you power from on high. And He can overcome anything that's in your life. Amen. How much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? Let there be no doubt about it, church. He wants you to be filled with His Spirit today. He wants you to be led by His Spirit today. He wants you to be endued with power from on high today. He wants your life to be filled with dominion and with power and with favor. Praise God. He wants an umbrella of favor over your life today. One that protects you from the storms of life. Amen. He wants your life to be filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. The Lord wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost today. The Lord wants you to have the gifts of the Spirit today. The Lord wants you to be filled. The Lord wants you to be overflowing. Listen, these are not the makeup. This is not the anatomy of the flesh. There's nothing about the flesh that teaches you to be peaceful. There's nothing about the flesh that teaches you long-suffering. This is not the anatomy of the flesh today. This is the anatomy of the asker, the anatomy of the seeker, and the anatomy of the finder. Come on, church, if you're going to make heaven your home, these things better be a part of your structure. These things better be a part of your makeup. These things better be what's on the inside of you today. I'm talking about the anatomy of an asker. If you're going to make heaven your home, these things better be in you. Amen. If you want something to gauge your life by, if you want something to look in the mirror concerning, these are the things that you need to look for in your life. The anatomy of an asker. It's true. A leopard cannot change his spots. It's true. Listen, it's true a leopard cannot change his spots. It's true that a zebra cannot change his stripes, but the Holy Ghost can. I'm talking to you metaphorically today. I know we're not going to bring a zebra in here and pray his stripes off of him, but we're going to bring a sinner in here and pray the devil out of him. Huh? We're going to bring an alcoholic in here and pray we're going to pray that God would dry him up. We're going to bring a drug addict in here. We're going to pray that God would set them free. We're going to bring a liar in here and pray that God would loose their tongue today, because we serve a God that's able to fill you with his Spirit and his Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can make the difference in your life today. Amen. It's true that there are just some things about us that we cannot change, but the Lord can. The Lord can. Amen. He's able to do it today. The Holy Ghost can do it today. Church, it's easy to receive the Holy Ghost. I watch people pray at altars for years, and they make it so hard receiving the Holy Ghost. But it's not hard to receive the Holy Ghost. Ask David. Ask Kaylee. Ask all of these young people in here been filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not hard to receive the Holy Ghost today. All you got to do is get your pride out of the way. All you got to do is come and stand humbly before a living God and present yourself to him and offer him yourself and stand humbly before God, and he can fill you with the Holy Ghost today. One scholar said it like this. He said, there are only three biblical virtues. Humility. See, if you stand humbly before God, it is the gateway to all other virtues. He that humble himself before the Lord, God will exalt. Amen. If you humble yourself before God, he can fill you with the Holy Ghost today. But pride will always stand in your way. You just got to humbly present yourself to a living God today. Amen. Humility is the gateway to all other virtues. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That's exactly why repentance is the first step in the plan of salvation. Because we got to learn that we got to come humbly before God, Joe. We got to come to the Lord with a heart that is full of repentance. A heart that realizes that we are nothing without him. A heart that realizes we are broken. We are distraught. We are depressed. We are nothing without God Almighty, who created us from the dust of the earth. We got to come humbly before our Creator today. That's why repentance is the first step in the plan of salvation. I heard a man once say, I prayed people through to the Holy Ghost that never even repented. You're a liar. Straight from the pits of hell, that is a lie. Straight from the pits of hell, because nobody is going into heaven that will not ask. Come on. Listen, you cannot receive if you don't ask. You got to have a heart that is full of repentance today. You got to have a heart that realizes that you're nothing without him today. You got to have humility. You got to humble yourself before God that he may exalt you. Come on, we got to learn today the anatomy of an asker. The truth is, God resists the proud. And that's what pride will always keep you from what God has for you. I mean, I love when I watch people come up here and people fall down at these altars, and I watch people come up here and I watch them. They'll stay there with them to the very end. You know why? Because they don't have an ounce of pride in their body. Because they humbly want to see that person receive what God has for them. I'm telling you, we better be humble if we think we're going to make heaven our home today. We better be humble, like a little child, as Jesus taught us, if we want to make heaven our home today. We got to humble ourselves before God. We got to realize we're nothing without him. And he will fill us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Church, the Holy Ghost is the greatest gift that God has ever given and that he ever will give. Come on, it's for everybody. It's God's will, it's God's plan that he fill you with his spirit today. You cannot be led by the spirit if you're not filled with the spirit. Amen. So we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost today. The Holy Ghost is the greatest gift that God has ever given. It's the greatest gift he will ever give. It'll change your spiritual DNA. It'll make you bone of his bone. Come on, hallelujah. It'll make you in him and he in you. It'll change who you are. It'll wipe away your past. It'll restore your hope for tomorrow. That's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. It'll change your spiritual makeup. It'll change your spiritual anatomy. The anatomy of an asker. I'm convinced today that there won't be any people in heaven that are too prideful to ask. I'm convinced today that God is not looking for people that think they can make it on their own. But he's looking for those that are willing to humbly bow down before him and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, would you help me? Lord, would you give me influence with my family? Lord, would you give me the power? Would you help me to hang on until you change the things that I can't change? I'm convinced today that there will only be askers in heaven. The anatomy of an asker. It will change your spiritual makeup. It will change your spiritual anatomy. I'm coming to a close as the musicians come quickly. In becoming askers, we are acknowledging our personal limitations. People that are too proud to admit that they can't do something or they can't handle something are people that are not willing to accept their own personal limitations. But when we become askers, we are acknowledging that we have physical limitations. There are things that we cannot do. There are things that only God can do. And not only are we acknowledging our own physical limitations, but we are acknowledging his unlimited ability to give us what we need. How many know he can give us what we need today? He can give us what we need today. Pride will keep you from becoming an asker. You ever seen somebody who was too proud to tell you what they had a need of? Let me tell you something. Pride will not only keep you from being an asker, pride will also keep you from being a receiver. Stop and think about that for a second. Because you can't receive what you didn't ask for. So the pride that keeps you from asking is also the pride that keeps you from receiving. Because you can't receive what you don't ask for. I'm convinced, church, that without becoming an asker, without becoming a seeker, without becoming a knocker, we're not going to make heaven our home. We got to seek him. Stand with me all over this house today. We got to seek him. We got to ask of him. We got to knock on the door and ask what we need today. Church, where there is no dependency, there is no asking. If you're not dependent upon him, you're not going to ask him of anything. In your own mind, you're self-sufficient. In your own mind, you can make it on your own. Without dependency, there's no asking. We need to become askers today. We're talking about the anatomy of an asker. Church, everyone that asketh, receiveth. That's what the Bible says. Only you can stand in the way. Only you can keep yourself from being filled with the Spirit of God. Only your pride, only your unwillingness to humble yourself before the great Creator and say, Lord, I need you. I can't do it on my own, Lord. I need you. Lord, will you help me? Without a dependency, there is no asking today. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you receive the power to live above sin. Come on. Our Bibles don't teach us that God will destroy everything out of your life. There are things in your life you're going to struggle with. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Lord will exalt you. He'll lift you above those sins that are trying to get a hold of you. Come on. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when God fills you with His Spirit, He gives you the power to live above sin. He places the joy of the Lord in your life. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You're not going to make it to heaven unless you're strong, unless you're willing to hang in there. The joy of the Lord is our strength. When God fills you with His Spirit, He'll make you a changed life. Your desires will change. Your friendships will change. The way you act will change. The way you talk will change. The things you desire will change. When you receive the Holy Ghost, He'll be a help in your time of trouble. There's nothing more tragic than to see people facing some of the things they're facing today without the help of the Lord. My God, help them today. Help them today. We need the help of the Lord in the time of trouble. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you're purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. When you're baptized in His name, when you're filled with His Spirit, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Holy Ghost is for everybody today. The Holy Ghost is for you to receive today. The Holy Ghost will lead you. The Holy Ghost will guide you. The Holy Ghost will strengthen you. The Holy Ghost will cause you to hang in there when you don't think you can hang in there. The Holy Ghost will protect you. The Holy Ghost will protect your family. It will empower you. It will embolden you. It will comfort you. It's the great comforter today. Regardless of what life throws your way, the Holy Ghost will make you an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. The Holy Ghost will cause you to overcome today. If we, being mortal, carnal men and women, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much greater is the great God in heaven if we ask Him to empower us, to help us, to embolden us, to fill us with His Spirit today. Church, we need to have the anatomy of an asker. These altars are open as we get ready to sing this song today. If you're here in this house, if you're tired of pride standing in your way from you receiving what God has in store for you, I want you to get out of that seat. I want you to come to the front of this church. I want you to throw your hands towards heaven. And I want you to say, Lord, I acknowledge that I can't do this without you. But with your help, I can do all things. With your help, I can do all things. Get out of that seat today and come and ask Him for what you need. Get rid of that pride and ask the Lord for what you need today as we sing this song.